Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Do you feel like you are stuck in a dinner rut? With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered straight to your door. Skip all those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Now, my husband and I have been getting HelloFresh for months. This week, we really enjoyed two of the recipes, the Dijon Onion Crunch Chicken with green beans. I enjoyed it because there was no cleanup because it's an easy meal with trays included. Our favorite, though, was the sesame soy beef bowls with shredded carrots. My husband loves the sriracha mayo, and I love how great and delicious the beef tastes. Go to the link in our show notes to get $80 off, including free shipping, on HelloFresh, the number one meal kit. You'll see the code and the link below.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And now that we are well after our 2-year anniversary, I was hoping to come here and tell you that I felt like some sort of professional. But I still feel
Do you feel like a whole new person now?
I feel the same.
Womp womp.
I still feel like a stage fright. I mean, this is a recording, obviously, but I still get a little bit of stage fright.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've gotten to the point that we're like, okay, we know we can cut it out. Okay, we can know we can whatever. But you still want to do the person justice and tell the story in the best way.
You bet. And there's so many wonderful podcasters and YouTubers and TV show hosts that do a great job. And we, I guess, strive to be on their level.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, guys. The people that, there have been some reviews and some comments lately that have literally made me choke up. Like, I send them to Amy, and I'm like, this is why we do this.
Every time.
You know what's even crazier?
What?
This is our 99th story.
99 people's stories are out there. Some you might have heard, some you might not have, but now you do.
Exactly. You want to dive into your 99th story?
I do. So this is a case that I feel as if you felt about Eric last week.
Oh, no.
In the way that there is, not a lot of good background information, which inevitably just makes it shorter, there is a lot of mixed up dates and stuff, which intimidates me, honestly, because just like you were saying, we want to do a story justice, and it's really hard to feel like you're doing it justice when you're kind of like, well, this date might be it, or this date might be it.
I also feel like because we are at episodes, 99, 100, and as we keep going, it's going to be like this because we've covered sporadically throughout the course of the first 2 years the big cases we know that haven't covered the media, like your Lauren Spear or whoever, those ones that have been covered that we can pull from 5 documentaries and things like that. Now we're in the world of, okay, we want to tell everyone's story. We always have been, but more so now.
That's absolutely right on. And we come across these news articles, and there might be a couple of them, but they're literally a blurb about police are searching for X, Y, and Z who disappeared on X, Y, and Z. If you have any information, please call. And you're like, wait a minute, You didn't tell me anything about anything.
Right. All right. So dive in.
So the case I'm going to cover today is the case of Kira Michelle Coles. Kira Coles was born on September 24th of 1992. Her parents were Joseph and Karen. She was from a large family with several siblings. All of her siblings and Kira were very close, and they spoke daily. Kind of what I already touched upon is her early life may have been rather uneventful, as there isn't much that I found on it at all. At around the age of 24, Kira got a job with the Postal Service as a carrier. I believe this started out as kind of like a part-time gig, and then she eventually did become a full-time letter carrier. And then even later, she added on an additional job as a Lyft driver. And I imagine she did this to further support herself and make herself more of an independent woman. So the year of Kira's disappearance, things were going really well for her. So she's likely has friend groups and stuff. She has a close-knit family that she talks to all the time. She's independent. She's working. I mean, if you're working for the government, like, you're probably making okay money, and you've got benefits, and if you do your couple of decades, you're pretty much taken care of. So she's got that going for her, supporting herself, and she moved out and got herself an apartment. And this was in the Chicago area. Kira was also very happy in her long-term relationship. She had been with Joshua for, I believe it was around 5 or 6 years. Some articles say 5, some say 6. Regardless, it's a pretty long time. And it was considered a good relationship despite some challenges. Now, I kind of use the word challenges lightly because I think that this could be a triggering thing for some people. So Joshua actually had previously a partner in which he had a child with her. And then he also had a partner whom he had several children with. And this partner had recently become pregnant. Basically, what this means is Joshua is, in essence, at least appearing to me as if he's dating two women at once. If you want to give the benefit of the doubt, maybe he was totally appropriately co-parenting with this other woman and they fell back into a relationship or maybe like a once or twice type of thing. But regardless, that person became pregnant.
I appreciate how much tact and credit you're trying to offer to that. Because if he's with Kira for 4 years and someone else gets pregnant, typically that's not a good situation.
So you're absolutely right. And I will say the lack of judgment that I have or try to have in this is that it doesn't seem to me like any articles go into detail about that. It's just a very general, the partner was pregnant.
Okay.
To make matters a little bit more challenging is that Kira also became pregnant herself at almost 26 years old. She found out she was expecting her first child, and again, this was with Joshua. Now, this was really hard for me to understand. I do imagine that Kira's family knew Joshua, right? He had been part of her life for so long. They were clearly serious. I don't really know if Kira's family approved of him or not, but it seems like they at least accepted him. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. Clearly, lots of obstacles here. Now, as you would suspect, these two women pregnant by the same man at once did not really like each other. I have never read that there were any physical altercations or excessive harassment per se. However, I know that one article did state that Kira had the other woman banned from where she lived. So I don't know if she was making threats or just saying, I'm going to come to your house. Or maybe she even said, like, I want to come and talk about it. I don't know. But that's kind of where they landed. And I would totally expect that kind of response for two women in that position.
I was just going to say, on top of that, and I've never been pregnant, but pregnancy hormones are a real thing. And two pregnant women with the same man and already have hormones raging, And not only that, they're pregnant by the same man. Likely, I can't imagine he was 100% honest with both of them.
That's actually a really good point I hadn't thought of. So, yeah.
I mean, even if one of them knew about the other, like, I would be shocked if they both knew both were trying to get pregnant or going to get pregnant by him in the same time period.
Right. Regardless of this, though, and I don't know how the other woman felt about her pregnancy and that journey and her experience, but
right,
Kiera was excited. She was really prepared for this. I would imagine at 26 and you're finally independent, you feel like you can support a child. So it's maybe not so scary. So in that dyad between her and her pregnancy, this was a wonderful thing. However, this put an enormous amount of stress on the relationship between Joshua and her. And I believe, as you'd imagine, there was arguing. And it never says explicitly what the arguing was about, but I imagine it's kind of what you were saying about him. Like, maybe he's not being completely honest about timelines and maybe about feelings for one or the other person. To me, this is like completely appropriate responses to something like that. So on October 3rd of 2018, and I believe Kiera is actually like 4, maybe 5 months pregnant. So she's very early in her pregnancy. Kiera had called out of her postal job. She had actually already called out the last 2 days, which another piece is debatable about that. And the reason why it's not so easy to find that information is the postal service is very tight-lipped about what people do with their personal time and their sick time. And if someone calls in and says X, Y, and Z is happening, they feel it's their obligation to not share that. It's their policy to not share that. Now, whether they do with law enforcement is a different story, but as to the general public and to the family and stuff, they did not. So surveillance showed what appeared to be Kiera in uniform delivering mail, which, if you remember what I said 1 second ago, she called out. So this already is kind of weird, right? After that, there are no other later sightings of Kiera. So throughout that day on October 3rd and the day after, Kiera's mother didn't get responses from Kiera at all. And this was very unusual. They talked all the time. So this was unlike Kiera. And her social media, most notably Snapchat, was silent. So I guess this was her main platform. Her sister knew it. She had checked and there was no activity on her Snapchat. So in addition to not hearing from her, this is very alarming. So her family calls the police. The police did what I hoped they would do, and they went to Kiera's home to do a welfare check. And as soon as they got there, they saw that her car was there, but she was not. And they didn't notice anything out of the ordinary other than they couldn't find her. So a neighbor of Kiera's was at some point able to provide some footage, surveillance footage, like probably from like a Ring doorbell camera or whatever, of Kiera on October 2nd showing her and Joshua leaving her apartment, but they get into separate vehicles. And that was pretty much it. So after October 3rd, no one had seen her, and there was some questionable surveillance. On October 2nd, that was the surveillance that showed her leaving her residence with Joshua, but separately in their individual cars. And I believe that's actually the last time that anyone had heard from her. So I think this is why the dates get very confused in the article, because it's like, when was the last time she was seen and when was the last time she was heard from? We can safely say that after October 3rd, there was neither. She wasn't talking to anyone, responding to anyone, engaging in social media, and was not caught on any surveillance. So the police and the family did all the searches they could. They did candlelight vigils. They tried to get the media's attention. The United States Postal Service, like, investigation unit of which I had never heard of, or I don't even know the correct term. Actually,
it's funny because when you sent me the name, the first thing I did was I pull the Charlie Project and I note who you're supposed to call if you have any tips, because I obviously put it in our show notes.
Right.
And it says you should call the Postal Service. And I was like, well, that's weird. I figured you'd get into it, but that
right.
makes
and
sense.
This is why, because she was employed there and she's missing. So they offered reward money.
Got it.
However, none of this brought forward any new leads. If there were leads, they didn't go anywhere. And there's pretty much no coverage beyond that. So eventually, you know, parents started speaking and things like that. And their original stance was that they didn't think, you know, that Joshua had anything to do with it. They had no idea what happened to her. And they actually didn't respond to anything about the surveillance footage. Additionally, the questionable part, or the head scratcher of a moment, comes when we learn that her boyfriend, significant other, father of her child of 5-ish years, does not come to any of the vigils. He does not participate in any of the searches. He's pretty much silent. And spoiler alert, I will tell you, like, he's not a suspect for whatever reason. And him and his other children's mother eventually moved away. Like, not even eventually, like, pretty soon after, he moved away out of state. Unfortunately, that is the end of the story. And it's been a short time, but a long time for a family and a long time for Kira, because if she has that baby out there somewhere, that baby is, oh, roughly 2.5-ish, give or take a little bit. That is, I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, it should. So I'll just kind of lay out the theories for you.
Wait a second. That's it?
Yeah. That's it. And I'll say, for a case that has all the bullet points that the public wants, and I'm sorry to put it like that, but we know how the media works, right? This case has some relationship drama, right?
The salacious activities, yes.
Salacious activities. This case has not surveillance video, but surveillance footage in snapshot form. It has a close-knit, tight family fighting. It has very suspicious behaviors from people who probably would point the finger at the boyfriend first. And this just has not gotten the traction that it deserves, or what I think would capture the attention of the media.
All right. So can you remind me in like one sentence, just like how she was last seen? Surveillance, herself in person, I don't care. The last sighting of her.
So the surveillance, I don't know exactly when they obtained it. But on the timeline of events, that is the last time that she was seen on surveillance.
Okay, and she was leaving her house in her uniform?
She was doing a mail route in her uniform. Now, the last time that she was seen by people, not on footage of any sort, and not even talked to, I believe, was Sunday. And she was with her family. She was happy. She was talking about, if I remember an article correctly, like she was talking with a relative about what baby formula would be best for the baby. There was no indication that she was upset, sad, regretful at all.
Cool.
So do you want to know what the theories are?
Sure. I'm already annoyed.
Yes. Well, our cases do annoy us because people don't get what they truly deserve for justice. Seldom.
Right.
Ever. So the first and obvious one is Josh and or his girlfriend. Now, just like with Eric last week, we had like a double theory all rolled into one. And it's very similar, right?
Is it him? Is it her? Is it them together?
Exactly. And we can kind of tear that apart a little bit.
Okay.
There is that she was under so much stress and she walked away from her life.
Oh, okay.
it's fascinating to me that there isn't really a mention of died by suicide. It's more of the walk away from your life. But I guess if we're going to talk about that, we can talk about suicide too. And one, you know, I spend seconds on the Reddit because I just can't. But the one second I did spend said pregnancy hormones as a theory. Now, I have a lot to say about that, but I won't get into it.
It's funny because I mentioned that earlier, but I wouldn't, whatever. Anyway,
maybe it was not said tactfully and it made me annoyed. But anyway. And really the last one is where she lived was not a great area. It was kind of known for gang violence. So was it kind of a random foul play / gang violence type of thing? I do want to go back to one detail that I did leave out. My apologies. Is it was found that when police did look at her car, there was like a bagged lunch in there. There was her cell phone. I believe her keys were found inside. And she might have had a change of clothes or something, which would make sense if you're in uniform in her car. So she had everything that she would need in her car. I don't know if you want to say ready to go or whatever, but it wasn't as if she's gone, her cell phone's missing, her keys are missing, and all the things, right? Just wanted to put that in there. So do you want to start with the least likely theories?
Yeah, we can talk about whatever you want, but I'm going to rule out died by suicide and left her life.
All right, but if I'm a detective, I have to talk about it anyway. Right. So died by suicide, I suppose, could happen, but why wouldn't you just do something like that in your apartment? Why would you leave? You didn't take any transportation like your car with you. And debatable whether this has an impact, but would you die by suicide if you were pregnant? I mean, would you want to take your life in the life of your unborn child?
I mean, that's an interesting conversation.
So it could go either way, depending on how you want to have this argument. I mean, some people don't want their child to be born without them. Some people don't want them to be raised by anybody else. Anything can happen if you have a mental break, right? However, I think that with the other circumstances involving this disappearance, there are other more plausible theories.
Yes, I agree with that statement.
Okay. So if we take, let's go with walking away from your life, okay? Now, this one to me would be a little bit more believable than a died by suicide. She's already connected with her baby. She is eager for it to be born. It's not like she never connected with this pregnancy, right? It is plausible that she had had enough. This was too much, too taxing. I don't know. She was worried about her health and her baby's health. And maybe this child being raised by this man and this other woman. Like, if...
Why would she lose custody of her child, then?
Not custody, per se. But naturally, when you... If he's going to remain somewhat involved with the other woman, is he going to take the baby around that family? And what influence will they have?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like she had a supportive family and she would just fight for custody.
So I think that's plausible based on what I've heard about her and her family. However, if she did leave, I don't know how she would get the resources to support a birth. And
right, because she would have had to quit her job. I mean, the Postal Service isn't just like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll just keep you on insurance and not tell anyone.
Right. Although there are domestic violence shelters, not that there was any indication to me that there was anything like that. But if she had gone to one of these shelters or something and said, I'm fearful, they wouldn't ask you any questions, most likely. And they would take you in, right?
Yeah, but I can't imagine. I don't know.
I can't. So then I go to the family that she talks to every day of her life. She's just going to leave them scared. And that's where I'm like, nope, that didn't happen. All right. I mean, you good with that? I'm kind of like, nope, neither of those scenarios happened.
Yeah, I'm 100% good with that.
Okay. So then we have the neighborhood gang violence, okay? If we take that surveillance on October 3rd and we call it true, I would like to know the statistics on how many times in broad daylight Chicago female postal workers are attacked or kidnapped.
You don't need to go that deep. Chicago is one of the most dangerous cities in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware it's dangerous. I'm aware the bigger the city, the more crime. However, are we going after vulnerable people? Or are we going after uniformed, in broad daylight, postal service employees?
Oh, I think you're being very specific when you say in broad daylight, postal service employees. I don't think necessarily that's a target. But I will say, like, Chicago in broad daylight is not necessarily a safe city anyway.
So, yes. And you're probably right. I'm probably overthinking it. I just feel like if you were to commit a crime, you would pick someone that would be less noticeable to go missing.
Okay, so I just Googled, in broad daylight, Chicago murders. April 19, 2021, 7-year-old girl shot dead in broad daylight in Chicago. That's the first headline. June 12, 2021, a person shot dead in broad daylight on Saturday. It was a male of unknown age. Next headline, Chicago dance studio, shot, killed in broad daylight.
What about kidnappings? Because she wasn't just, it wasn't like a drive-by shooting. She's missing.
Okay, June 14th, 2021, 5 a.m., a girl's kidnapped in broad daylight. The next article, FBI video shows East Chicago man snatching a child in broad daylight.
But again, vulnerable. Ross.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, I think that you're being very specific when you say, like, how often is a postal worker in uniform delivering mail targeted? I think you're being too specific.
You're probably right.
How often are women targeted? Really freaking often.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You're right. However, the point that I was making was that you're most often going to go after someone that is vulnerable, weaker, less likely to be noticed, like a child or a woman in plain clothes walking down the street. I was just thinking that someone uniformed poses more risk to be noticed.
I mean, yes, and don't get it wrong. I don't think it's random foul play, but I just think you're being too specific.
Okay, I agree with that, and I'm pushing it a little bit. We'll leave that there for a moment. How about that?
Okay.
So we'll move on to the most popular and probably the most obvious theory. I won't play around. Is it Joshua? Is it his girlfriend? Or is it both of them?
Wait, is the girl his girlfriend?
Okay. Rephrase. The mother of his child, his unborn child, and some other and her other children.
I guess I would have to know, is Kiara the other woman? And not on purpose. I don't necessarily think that she knew that she was the other woman.
And that's a problem because that is the part that's unclear. And part of me is glad that it is because I would be sad to hear it becomes a focus of an investigation in terms of making judgments about people.
No. And I don't mean that. I'm not doing it to judge her. I'm saying if she was the other woman, it makes more sense to me that he or the girlfriend would be upset if the other woman is an ex that he just hooked up with and wasn't very smart about. And he was essentially cheating on Kiara. It changes it a little bit for me.
Or it doesn't matter and they're both furious and they don't care. Because this guy is telling each of them that he loves them and they're the most important thing, blah, blah, blah. I've heard some women very much excuse someone's infidelities with blaming the other person 100%. They lured him in or something ridiculous like that. So to me, it might not matter.
Are you saying that on Kiara's side or the other woman's side?
Well, either one, honestly. And the more time you invest in a relationship with someone, the harder it is to accept that all of this dreaming and all of this hard work and dedication and loyalty that you've put in, someone can come in and tear it up? No. Like, no.
Well, right, but... All right, so keep going. Can we pause on this theory? Are there any others?
No, not really.
The Charlie Project says, police stated they have a pretty good idea of what transpired, and they believe Coles met with foul play. They have multiple persons of interest, but the case remains unsolved.
They have not disclosed who or what that foul play was.
Right, but multiple persons of interest would lead me to believe it's not just Joshua and his new girlfriend if it's them.
If they're being completely truthful, then yes. Or multiple persons of interest, meaning could it mean that they have knowledge? And that knowledge is the reason they can't be ruled out.
I don't know.
For me, this guy has the best of both worlds, right? He really gets to have his cake and eat it too. Go between each relationship, and he's been happily doing that for some time. I don't know how
Probably
long,
yes.
But it tell it,
yeah, no, I,
for me, it feels long.
I would agree with that.
So why would you want to end that? So you have a little bit of drama with your partners. No big deal. You know, you can sweep them off their feet again. But the girlfriend potentially has a lot to lose.
Right, but we don't know who the girlfriend is. That's what's killing me.
Right.
Is if Kiera is the girlfriend, right? If in he just went to visit his kids that are with his ex and they ended up hooking up and, you know, whatever it may be, that's one thing. If he's cheating on his girlfriend with Kiera, I think that, okay, if he's cheating on his girlfriend with Kiera, the girlfriend is now mad because she has multiple kids with him and this is how he's acting. If he's cheating on Kiera with his ex, I think that he has the most to lose because he wants to probably be with Kiera and he now risks not being with her anymore because he's cheating on her.
I disagree.
Do you see my... Why?
I just don't think any of that matters.
Okay.
Not all of what you said. In terms of who might be the girlfriend and who isn't.
Well, okay, so you tell me what your thoughts are.
I only disagree with that because I think that whoever he's promising things to thinks they have a future, whether you want to call it girlfriend or not, or whatever, whoever came first. Like, if you're the one that's being cheated on, and he's telling you, but you're the one I really want to be with, then it doesn't matter what it looks like or what he's doing because his words are saying he wants to be with you.
Okay, so let's run it both ways. He is with this girl and he's cheating on her with Kiera.
Okay.
Both are pregnant.
Yes.
I think that in that situation, both the girl and Joshua have something to lose. But primarily, more the girl.
I agree with that.
Okay. So, in my opinion, if he is with the girl and cheating with Kiera, I would say I would lean on the girlfriend being the driving factor of whatever happened.
And that's actually what I kind of think, too.
But I'm going to tell you, if it's he's with Kiera, slipped up, slept with his ex and wants to be with Kiera. I still think the girl has more to lose. Okay, so I think the other woman's involved.
I think you're right. And that's kind of what I was thinking all along. Whether she forced him to do something or she went and did it herself and maybe had him clean up or whatever. I think that she drove this idea, and I think that whatever happened to Kiera was a result of that, And because he knows or has some type of involvement, they moved away and decided that hope for the best, let's not deal with it.
I mean, I would guess, like you said, that you have to look at people that are most likely to lose something. And that would be her boyfriend and the boyfriend's girlfriend. So I think that that's where you need to at least dig in. You know, like, I don't feel confident in saying, like, it is 100. Like, okay, we just released a bonus episode a little bit ago on Kimberly Kim and her children.
Yes.
In that case, I said, I think Charles Bonet did it. Period. End of story. I'm not that confident in this case, but I would say I think that you have to really dig into that couple.
I agree. It's like, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. With that family, with the Cam family, there was literally a DNA handprint that matched a person. So it was like a lot of confidence there that that was that person.
Right. And that's what I mean.
Right. So at the end of the day, like, I just have more questions for these two people that I have not found in any of the articles that I read.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, and that's sort of where, and of course there's like not a whole lot except for there's the Reddit and then there's like the five articles. So there's not like there's, you know, a wealth of information, like we've said 1,000 times. And I've said it again, like Lauren Spear, where I could Google her and not read the same article twice for days.
Right, like I need a Dateline episode, I need an interview with the family, I need to know everything about everyone's life and what was going on. So I don't have this, but pass it on to your friends, pass it on to anyone that you know would love true crime, and I feel like this is how things get going. I haven't said this in a really long time, but I know that I've said it, and this is pretty much what happened with Maura Murray. So she was just a girl mm-hmm. that went missing in New Hampshire back in 2004. And it really didn't get traction for like 3 or 4 years at least. So
yep,
people talked, people were interested. And she's literally had an Oxygen series, podcasts, and whatever. So talking does do something, guys. But
yes, please let me share it.
Let me wrap this up and open it up to you guys. What do you think? And is there another theory out there that you think is plausible? Let us know and pass it on.
And just so you know, like, we obviously, Amy said she'll spend a minute or two on the Reddit. I read it. We obviously read things, but things that are from, like, left field, we don't talk about because if we can't find them to substantiate anywhere else, you know, like, we're not going to talk about alien abduction.
Right.
You know, but if you have something that you can substantiate with a mainstream media article, please send it to us.
Yes.
All right, guys, we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Bye. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.